always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I guess the first question is, like, is there anything that the Lakers could do to ensure that those guys are a factor throughout this series?
Yeah, I mean, so the Rockets start Sengun at center. Obviously, they lost Steven Adams. Clint Capella comes off the bench for them. But in any case, this should not be a series where the big man, like, overpowers the center position. Now, they're a team that's going to dare, like, Ayton likes post seals against wings and things like that. Houston's in a team that's 100% going to live with. Like, they have Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Josh Okogie. All their offensive faults are they are. These are physical wings, and they're going to dare DeAndre Ayton to shoot jump hooks over him. I think Ayton is good enough and has shown in previous playoffs. I think the last time Ayton was in the playoffs was with Phoenix, if I have that correct. Portland did not play any playoff games, so I believe last time was against was in Phoenix, you know, with the Suns. Yeah. He did show that he can attack those type of mismatches and have success. I'm more concerned, not concerned, but I think Ayton's the one that you have to actively keep involved in the offense in a way that Jackson is just going to do his job. Like, I think Jackson has showed enough that he's going to be a role threat. He's going to, he's going to be a lob threat. He's going to be the guy you can throw lobs, you know, at any time. That's kind of his position. He's gotten better in the short role, but Lakers don't make him make too many decisions in that position. Ayton will get, hopefully he should get chances to score there. I don't think the Lakers can do anything, but I do think keeping Ayton and Jackson to an extent involved in the offense obviously helps the other end too. And I think it's important. Even if you think they're not scoring, let them touch the basketball. Let them be involved. I think it's important they are threats in this series. They're not going to dominate the offensive glass against a team like Houston, but they're going to have to be physical on the inside. I think, to your point, that is important in this series. The amount of the box outs from a guy like Rui, who just had 10 rebounds the other night. Like, I think these guys coming in to help on the glass, that's going to be vital to at least give LeBron a break on that, too. You can't have LeBron running all the offense, having the defensive ass that he will, and be, just this rebounding monster. That's not fair to a 41-year-old. Everyone else is going to have to rebound. And the bigs, that's their main job in this one, kind of keeping Houston off the glass, because they crash from the corner more than any other team in the league, I think. Yeah. Amen Thompson, that is what he is elite at. He will come in and fly in for rebounds. You got to kind of keep him off the glass.
I think if Hayes outplays Capella, he's done his job. Right, because Capella's going to get out there. They're going to play roughly the same amount of minutes in the series. And if Hayes can win those minutes, and if he can win that matchup, then I like the series that Hayes had. When Hayes is out there and Sengun is out there, I need Hayes to run the court. I need him to rim run. I need him to get out there and force Sengun to use that much energy to hustle back to try to get back there. And keep up with Hayes. And Hayes is a good enough athlete, I think, to really kind of force Sengun to focus on that.
Sengun also is a player that can get in foul trouble quickly. Like, he's a guy that can pick up two.
Especially if he gets tired, man. Like, he's the same body type as the Luka Jokic guys. When, I have that same body type, and I know if I were to play basketball right now, I'd probably foul like a motherfucker. with Sengun, get him tired. I think that'll go a long way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sorry, I cut off your point about him and his foul trouble.
Yeah. So, like, I think he's a guy you can attack and just, I think him picking up two cheap fouls or three, whatever, that is huge. Like, the centers behind him is Clint Capella. We had this whole, I think, narrative versus reality caught up with Clint Capella versus DeAndre Ayton. I talked about on this show. If you go look at Clint Capella's averaging like 4 points a game, and he got compared to a center that's averaging 14 and 10. But in any case, that's their backup. And I think Houston's in trouble if they have to play Clint Capella 35 minutes a game. Like, they're in trouble. That's not a guy who can stand up to play that many minutes right now. So, I think if you can get Sengun in foul trouble, it's big. KD has a bigger defensive ask now on this team. But that's the guy I'm kind of pointing at. Can you get him foul trouble? Can you throw some lobs to Jackson where he does a little push or a little shove, gets him in trouble? He can also be frustrated with that, looking at the officials in his mind in a way. But that's important to me, kind of attacking their bigs where you can.
Yep. All right, let's dive really quickly into some of you guys' questions and comments here. We did get a super comment, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show. Here's to Alperen Şengün. That's what they need to do. Like, that needs to be him chasing Jackson Hayes all series.
Still don't get it, but sure.
What's not to get?
Like, don't get it. Like, it's just Kirby walking around. Like, it's
all right. The actual most important sound on the show. Stop watching! All right. Justin Tindall kicks us off with confident. We play even with Braun on the floor, but when he's off, it's panic stations. But with JJ will play him 44 to 45 minutes. We'll be burnt out even if we win the series. Look, man, like there's this thing that happens in pool and it happens in golf, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, in pool, you're always thinking a couple shots ahead, right? So where can right. I make this shot and put the ball in a spot where I now have a shot after that? In golf, right, there's always like, you know, you're trying to put the ball in the fairway in a spot that gives you a good angle and gives you plenty of green to work with. But then there's also times where you're just like, you know what? I'll deal with whatever shot I have to deal with afterward. I have to make this shot. And yeah. And right now, like, the Lakers are in that spot here where it's like, I know that there are going to be some tired legs after this series, and I know that the team waiting for you after this series is going to be the fucking San Antonio. No, it's going to be the what's that?
OKC, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be OKC, yeah. You know, and they probably won't be very tired because they're going to be playing against a team that is, you know, currently, you know, trying to make it into the play-in. You got to make the shot in front of you, right? And you know, LeBron is going to be pretty wiped. But if you make the shot in front of you, then you get Luka potentially. Then you might even get Austin for the second half of that second series. And then you know, just make do with what you have to make do with.
Two things on this. I was thinking about Steve Kerr's quote where he was asked kind of about the playing game minutes. And remember, just – the Warriors, I believe, are the 10 seed, so they're in do or die both times. So I think they play in LA. And Steve Kerr said where no player is gonna go over like 35 minutes. He said Steph, and so he said, like, in a do or die situation, he's like, Steph Curry, Al Horford, and Porzingis are all limited. And he could have probably not said anything because Al Horford and Porzingis, we don't even assume that they're gonna play 40 minutes.
I was like, well, have they played 40 minutes this, like, in a week this year?
Right. And so I was just thinking how crazy that is. Like, what are you saving them for? Steph Curry, he just played. I understand not wanting to, you know, hurt him further, but just coming out before a playing game, a do or die game, and telling your fan base, hey, yeah, you know, we still have minute restrictions, is kind of crazy. Yeah, I'm with you on this. This is the same thing I've heard is, you know, hey, Ron, even if we win this series, we have OKC next, so it doesn't matter. It's like that. That bridge, I just, you know, I was just in San Francisco, went on the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, always a cool experience to do that. That bridge, we will cross when we get there. That bridge, I will not worry about right now. The Lakers are going to go all for this first round. Whatever happens after that happens. But you got to find a way to win this series. They are heavily underdogs. You cannot prepare. You are not in the position the OKC is where they can prepare because of the team they're going to play. As you mentioned, they can kind of be like, all right, let's get this series over with quick. So that we can kind of play in the next, so we can kind of rest our guys for the next round. Lakers aren't in that position at all. They are underdogs. They will be kind of, they are counted out. They are in the talent deficit in this series. You win the series how you can, and then after that, you look over the, you look across from you and go, all right, we've got the Thunder, and we'll prepare for that when that happens. But right now, yeah, you can't think about that.
Do you see the screen? Is your screen what my screen is right now?
It is. Has technical difficulties. Yeah. That game is over, though, right? I think Charlotte is up 3. No, 43 seconds left.
No, it's like last possession.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Amazon. Oh,
look at Twitter. Twitter.
Perfect. It was perfect. Perfect.
Unbelievable. You know, they like cut off like all local presentation of these games too.
Yeah, I've heard that.
For
right.
For technical difficulties. Adam Silver, dude. Like just yet another big old dub for Adam Silver.
Can't blame this on Adam.
Looking up at him right now, like you mother.
Oh man, let me get out of the screen. All right, the game is back. So 26 seconds left. I guess Charlotte scored on that possession that we missed. We missed it. Charlotte did score. They're up.
Oh, good.
Most important possession.
The only thing that would have made this better if they were playing this game on Prime Day, like the only.
Right.
Justin Tindall, today's NBA ball taking 16 three-pointers and made two. Yeah, he just made a two-pointer there to kind of be the dagger. Yeah. That was a travel, but I'm not hating. Man, that was a travel. He took two steps on his left foot.
Man yells at clouds.
I'm just saying. Like,
back in my day, they would call that.
I'm just saying. Like, I'm just glad we were finally able to watch the play.
Right. Oh man!
Also, I can't believe they didn't like hold off. Oh!
Oh wow!
Oh my god!
What a shot!
This is unbelievable. The shot making at the ends of these possessions. Unbelievable.
They have to foul though, right? Yeah, they have. Oh, good trap. Okay. Oh.
Oh no.
Oh.
Oh no.
What?
Oh
what?
No.
Oh, he got fouled?
He fouled? Wow. LaMelo.
Why did he had a layup or he had an open backed up for a three-pointer. It worked out, but wow.
LaMelo turns the ball over and then fouls Hero.
What a terrible pass. God. Look at this. Look at him back up to the three-point line, though. Wow.
Ooh, I don't know if that was a foul, though.
I don't know if they have a challenge left. Nope. He's going to the line.
They don't have a challenge? That looked like a... Well, because now Spo's telling him to take a look at that for, like, landing area foul. If I were Spo, I'd be like, don't look at that. Because it looked like he...
I don't think they can remove a call, though, in that position. It would have to be challenged, so I'm guessing. But, yeah, I would just take the three free throws and go.
Yeah.
Wow, what a terrible... Man, they had it locked up. Up 5 with 23 seconds left and couldn't get the ball across half court. Ooh, made 2. Okay.
Are you ahead of me? He's only shot 2.
Yeah, he made 2. I'm at 2. Yeah.
Okay. This is crazy.
Wiggins coming back in. I wonder why Wiggins was out for.
Well, they needed offense. They were down 5 with.
Right, but you take out Wiggins for offense?
I guess they could have taken out Mitchell. They could have taken out Dibble. But you also needed to turn him over. Yeah, Wiggins should have been in there.
All right, let's
man,
see.
Unreal. Let's see what other questions that we have here. Rod 8097, great interview with Ryan. That was fun. Raj, I think you stepped in pretty good. You stood pretty well here. You know, you
right.
Put yourself in a tough spot, or I put you in a tough spot, and you stepped up to the plate. Crazy. Hero knows he got away with one there. Like I definitely think he flopped on that 3.
Okay. I didn't see a good replay of it, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll show it
here. Gentiles unite. Is Ime Udoka a better coach than JJ? So in following Houston people this year, I would probably say no. Like,
yeah,
Houston, the Houston people and people covering that team that I follow have been pretty fed up with Ime Udoka's coaching approach to this team. That said, like, the last time we saw JJ Redick in the playoffs was such an abomination that it's hard for me to say that he is definitely better than anybody in this specific spot going into the playoffs. But Roz, like, would it surprise you after this series to be like, JJ's at least on par with Udoka?
Really quick, I just saw play. I don't think he got fouled. That looked pretty clean from LaMelo. So, right? That looked like a clean block. I'm not sure. That's a tough way to lose your season. I think JJ's a good coach. Again, the playoffs last year were what they were. I also think, like, Jackson Hayes last year just was not good enough against Minnesota. Now, that doesn't mean you completely remove him, but losing AD, obviously you do that trade every time, but losing AD kills your center rotation. They obviously made a trade for Mark Williams that did not come through. So basically you were stuck with Jackson Hayes, Christian Coloco. I believe Trey Jameson was playoff. I don't 100% remember, but I think Coloco was. But in any case, yeah, so he decided to go small ball. And it, oh, wow.
Where'd you go, LaMelo? Uh-oh.
Oh, let's see.
Oh, no.
Oh,
they got the block.
Wow. Woo. I was talking during it. Who hit it? LaMelo hit the game winner?
LaMelo. Where'd you go, LaMelo?
Wow.
No, it was LaMelo.
It was LaMelo. Okay. I saw Bridges got the block. That's why they were kind of all over him. Okay.
Bridges, wow. And their other young guy. They're all young, but yeah, Brandon.
They deserve to be in the playoffs to me, though. They've had the better second half of the season. They've had a real turnaround. You mentioned trading for Coby White. Like, I wanted the Hornets over the Miami Heat, who would get the same old, get stomped in the same fashion every single year. They play they're the play-in champions. They go into the playoffs every year and just,
yeah. We're pretty close to this being like the Eric Spoelstra Memorial play-in game.
Yeah, Spoelstra's an amazing coach, but the Heat just continue to do nothing every time, and so they keep.
Did you see the report today? I think it was my buddy, Jake, who was like, Pat Riley wants to trade for a star this summer. And it's like, I feel the same way when I hear about like the Warriors might pair LeBron Kawhi and Giannis and this summer. And it's like, have some shame. I know that it's Mike Dunleavy and you like have to relay what Mike Dunleavy is saying to you right in that spot. You have to say, like, you have to relay what, like, you know, Kirk Lacob and like that group is telling you. But also, do you like can there not be a follow-up of like, how long have you been having this conversation? You know, as well as like with Pat Riley, you know, report Pat Riley wants to trade for a superstar this summer. He's been in on KD, he's been in on Dame, he's been on Giannis, he's been in on and not us KD before. I'm sorry, man. You can only play the same song so many times, and eventually, like, you're just a bad DJ.
100%. So shout out the Hornets. They have to win another game, but I would pick them. By the way, Orlando's had a very strange year, and Philly just lost Embiid to appendicitis, which is, like, again, just crazy amount of injuries.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Orlando that they play.
Yeah, so I would pick Charlotte. But to your question about Ime versus JJ, JJ back-to-back 50 wins in his first, 2 years. I think that's not nothing. Again, the playoffs were what they were last year, but he's had a solid year. I think he deserves a lot of credit for how this year went with the injuries that, that piled up. Missing LeBron for the first 14 games. Lakers go 10-4 within that. Obviously lose Luke and lose Austin for a whole month. And they still stay in that 3 seed in the Western Conference. Just, I think he's had more of a solid year than you could say. And Ime feels like a coach that, like, your first 2 years with him are amazing, and then after a while, he just gets on the nerves of every person, and not just player, but staff and GM. And you could just tell
confrontation. Brown. Like, he's like modern Larry Brown. Like Larry Brown would get there and like change the culture and. The first year and a half would be great. And then, like, you get to like this, like mid-December, you get to like Christmas, yeah, and everybody's like, he actually put coal in my stocking.
Right, yeah. So that's to me where it is. Not to compare him to another Celtics coach, but like Doc Rivers, I feel like similar ways. First year with Doc is, oh man, this guy, you know, really good at, you know, getting us engaged and motivated. Yeah, and then like after a few years, it's just the same exact situation. Someone tweeted out,
but never his fault.
Right. Well, like it's funny because they said he got fired or he quit the same day. He departed the same day he got into the Hall of Fame, which is just perfect Doc Rivers. It's just right on.
He's the most Doc is Raj. His Raj's feed is actually brought to you guys by Amazon. So apologies that Raj is not available. but yeah, I'll go ahead and wrap us up here. Thank you to Raj for popping on. And thank you to all of you guys for chatting alongside us. Make sure you guys are hitting that subscribe button. Make sure you guys are hitting that like button. Turn on notifications for the show. Turn on notifications for YouTube. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning via pod, please hit subscribe wherever you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere you get them is perfectly fine with me. And yeah, so tomorrow the plan is, no Harrison this week. I don't want to go into, nothing serious going on there, between him and me. Just he's got some stuff that he has to deal with. He is not going to be on the show this week. So I will be doing a mailbag episode tomorrow. Hit me with questions, on the iTunes mailbag, and I will get to, I'm sure they are backed up, so I'm going to get to as all of those tomorrow, as well as all of the comments that you guys have over the course of the show. Yeah, until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Sapalu, who's back. Hey, bud. Oh, now you're muted on top of it all. It's still not going. All right. this Amazon connection that Raj has. There he is. I think I heard you there.
Okay. Yeah. Mentioned Doc Rivers and got completely destroyed. So,
he knew.
So,
I did want to say anything that you wanted to plug before we got you out of here.
Just wrote about Marcus Smart for Silver Screen and Roll. So that's up on his kind of playmaking importance. We didn't really mention that. And then, I have a video up on Offside tomorrow and through this week, kind of previewing Lakers Rockets. I'm excited. Playoff game. Playoffs are back. Nice break for the Lakers. So, game one on Saturday.
Yep. All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow.